Welcome back, Oscar fanatics. This is Nathaniel from The Film Experience. This is part two of our final Oscar predictions podcast. Today we'll be hitting the biggies, best picture, best director, best screenplay, all of that. And we'll start with production design.
All right.
Another win for Grand Budapest, perhaps?
I think so. I think this feels like a Wes Anderson career vote.
Yeah, yes. I agree.
Although it is so strange, as I've often remarked, that his movies have never been nominated in this category.
So the competition is Imitation Game for the big machine, I would assume.
Christopher.
Yes, Christopher. Interstellar, Into the Woods for its horrid sets. and Mr. Turner, which would be my vote. I think all those rooms and houses and galleries and everything in Mr. Turner looked so gorgeous.
Yeah, they're amazing. Especially his like work studio with like the sort of like the weird like sort of cloth barriers for the light. I mean, it's an amazing movie in terms of production.
Yeah, that would definitely be my vote.
I would have a really hard time deciding between Grand Budapest and Mr. Turner, which is why my ballot would also motivate a call from Pricewaterhouse. But I don't know what I would do. What amazing nominations.
I would love. Now, do we know that Adam Stockhausen and Anna Pinnock, who are the nominees for Grand Budapest, have they done the production design for all of Wes Anderson's?
No.
I think Adam Stockhausen has he never done another one for Wes
Anderson? He did Moonrise Kingdom, but he's new in the Wes Anderson things.
Yeah, okay.
He's right off, I mean, talk about range, he's right off of 12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave, yeah.
So that maybe takes the shine for me a little bit off of a career, not in terms of the way people would vote, but in terms of me feeling good about
if
Grand Budapest wins. I would like to be like, you know, sort of sigh happily at the idea that the little pink flags of, you know, the Royal Tenenbaum were also...
Oh, God, how did Royal Tenenbaums not get nominated in this category?
I mean, I feel that way about almost all of Grand Budapest Hotel's nominations this year. And I'm like, oh, if only. I just can't believe that Into the Woods nomination, you guys.
I'm confused by it myself, but I'm also fearful of it winning. Because even though I think historically production design tends to be a category where they sometimes choose the most hideous movie.
Alice in Wonderland won, right?
Yeah, it
won. I was about
to
say, nobody has to say it. We don't have to. Everybody knows what we're talking about. Because the memory of it is so haunting, and I know it's flooding all of us at this moment.
Yeah, and I don't, like, so I have to think sometimes, put myself in other headspaces, like, what would prompt anyone to vote for that?
Yeah.
And the only thing I can think is that it's excessively art-directed. Like, they're thinking the whole time, I'm looking at
depending how you define art and directed, that's definitely true.
They're thinking the whole time, this was art directed. Which I realize you could say about Grand Budapest Hotel, but I don't actually think people separate the crafts within his movies in their heads. I think they're like, oh, it's Wes Anderson. Like, it's all a style, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I fear Into the Woods for that reason here. Which I don't fear any of the others, because I think the others are fairly worthy nominations, even though they aren't my choices, you know?
Right. So are you saying Grand Budapest, but with, like, a real dark horse threat from Into the Woods?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, the thing is, and I feel bad saying that, because Dennis Gassner, who did Into the Woods, actually has, like, kind of an amazing filmography, so I don't know what the hell happened. So does anybody else fear the same thing because of Alice in Wonderland?
I do fear it a little bit, and I just got stuck for a second, because I was thinking about the stomach. And how, oh my God, okay, but, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you mean the wolf, yeah.
Whatever, that's off topic, never mind, scratch it.
No,
It's not really off topic.
No, it was definitely going to be off topic.
Oh, okay.
You can cut this later, like Jane, you know, cut this, but I was just thinking I'm probably talking to the only two people in the world who, like me, might also walk around on the sidewalk sometimes and smile because I'm thinking about how happy Annette Bening was when she got to give the art direction Oscar to Dennis Gassner for Bugsy. Right. She was so happy.
That was so well art directed, that movie.
I know. Dennis Gassner, man.
And he did Barton Fink, too, didn't he?
Same year, yeah.
Which is, he's amazing, so I'm confused.
That is Nina Garcia talking right there. I'm confused.
What befell him?
So, yeah, I think I would be surprised if it's anything but Grand Budapest Hotel. But this category has surprised me in the past.
Yes. And we'll move on to its sister category in Eye Candy, the Moulin Rouge categories, as it were. Costume design.
Or its gay brother. We don't know.
Gay brother, sister, same thing.
I mean, I think it's Grand Budapest again for similar reasons. And since it is a little disappointing how these have become kind of like a line vote in recent years.
Right.
But, I mean, I think that there are, I think Mr. Turner and Inherent Vice are both really impressive achievements here as well. And Into the Woods, I would maybe say something slightly different about, but it does seem Oscar-ish in some ways. But I think Grand Budapest.
I have the exact same, I mean, they're often combined, these categories, and I have the exact same fear about Into the Woods here.
Oh, really?
Because though I...
And the costumes I find less objectionable about Into the Woods than the sets, so...
See, I think it's not good costume work.
I don't think I would nominate it, but...
Well, it seems very, like, if someone were doing a Colleen Atwood sort of parody...
Yeah.
For example, if Colleen Atwood were doing that.
Right? Because it's very similar to her other work. And yet it has these, and some of it's amazing. Like I think the patchwork dress on Emily Blunt is kind of fun in a weird way and feels new, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I like actually Meryl's outfits, even though they feel borrowed from Lemony Snicket, but I don't really understand completely the Cinderella dress, and I think, you know, the wolf design you just get automatically disqualified for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There were ears on a hat.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I like the Grand Budapest and Inherent Vice nominations here a good bit. Also, I mean, let's be honest. As the only male nominee in this category, we really owe it to Mark Bridges to, you know, fight the good fight for the outnumbered men in the costume design category.
We are basically a men's rights podcast.
Also, he's from Niagara Falls. How, I mean, I've got a little homerism. It's we'll get to this in the screenplay categories. It's shocking to me how many times I would probably cast a ballot for Inherent Vice at this Oscars, considering I found it to be somewhat annoying as a movie.
Somewhat?
Yeah, prediction Grand Budapest for this.
I want to say that too, because Milena Cananero is like such a legend. And again, the same issue with Wes Anderson. Like, she didn't get nominated for Royal Tenenbaums, which is one of the best costume movies of the decade. So
has she only won the once?
No, she's won three times.
She's won three times. For which movies?
For Marie Antoinette.
That's the one I remember.
I think Barry Lyndon, am I remembering right? Hey, cinematography.
Let's do it.
You know what? I was predicting Birdman, and I still am, but lately I've been like, I wonder if I need to think it through more, or if that's just that obvious that it's going to win.
I think it's obviously going to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't think people might be like, oh, about Grand Budapest or Mr. Turner?
I think they might be like, oh, about either of them, and actually any of them. I'm running an Oscar pool for the group of women that I do that film group with, and they have voted for each of the five in this category so far, and I only have 12 votes, so that's interesting. Unbroken, I think, is currently the second most.
Whoa.
So we should not forget that people watch for cinematography in different ways. That's what I'm guessing. But I think Birdman, I mean, it's the story.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, to the degree to which people and awards voters have found Birdman to be the story of this category, I find Mr. Turner to be that much higher above everything else for me. I think it's just, again, and broken record, but like, it's so gorgeous. It's really,
it really is gorgeous.
Breathtakingly beautiful.
I just think if it had been, you know, the word of the podcast, if it had been Totter, or just less sort of off-putting, I think it could have had even more nominations, Mr. Turner.
I know exactly what you mean, and just but out of context, that sounds really funny. If it had been off-putting and so tacky, people would have liked it better.
Now, my question to you both is, will they have John Travolta present Best Cinematography in the hopes that something will happen to distract from the dick poop incident, let's say, of nomination morning? Screws up Robert Yeoman's voice or name so bad that, like, something else, like, then that's what people will think of.
I just think it goes to show you that, you know, we will never fully understand the mind of the Oscar producers that he was invited back.
Dr. Wallace forbids me from thinking about the fact that he's presenting again. That's not a good place for me to go. I'm not engaging in this. I will say about Robert Yeoman that if this were a performance and somebody spoke three languages over the course of a whole movie, they would get nominated and be a threat to win almost no matter what. And the fact that he had to work in all those different aspect ratios and still have a movie that looks like it hangs together while drawing your eye to the fact that it keeps changing on you is a pretty amazing accomplishment. But I'm not saying it would be my vote. I think Mr. Turner's my vote too, but this is another one where if you take off Unbroken, I would happily vote for any of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great category. Like, very, very good-looking category.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the Unbroken nomination. I get that it's pretty, but beyond that, I don't.
Deacons. I think that's... Yeah. If it wasn't Deacons, you wouldn't have that nomination, I really don't think.
Right.
I think it's Deacons in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, I enjoyed the Pacific Ocean parts of that movie better than the others.
Oh, me too.
But, yeah.
That's the best part of the movie, for sure.
Yeah. I'll be happy for Emmanuel Lubezki to have two Oscars. I'm not going to lie. And I think he does very good work on Birdman. Again, I'm the sort of meanie about Birdman. I understand that. But, like, I think it's some really interesting work that he's doing on that movie.
Mm-hmm. I agree that I think that would be my vote, maybe, though with with sobs for Mr. Turner, which really is like a cinema, like the very best element of it is the cinematography.
Sobs for Mr. Turner is the sequel to Mr. Turner.
Yeah,
and I think, and I'm that impressed with like the technical elements, even though I got totally sick during Mr. Turner and had to leave.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Your descriptions of it just get more and more complimentary, even though I understand you are trying to compliment
it. It wasn't all like, the snorkeling.
It made me totally sick. Put that on the poster.
Yeah. So are we up to screenplay now?
We are, and these are very difficult categories.
And we're going to do all eight of them in like 6 minutes.
No, we have more time. Or no, actually we don't. Well, supporting categories we could, like, is there even any point in discussing?
No.
So, the original and adapted screenplays are both situations where it feels like surprises could be imminent, or maybe they can't be surprises since anything could win.
I think that's especially true of original screenplay. I think in adapted screenplay, more and more I'm thinking that this is where The Imitation Game gets its, you know, consolation prize, and then we all can really, really fume because so much of what I don't like about The Imitation Game comes down to the screenplay.
Mm-hmm. What the author of the original book doesn't like about The Imitation Game.
Right, exactly. This is the other category where I'm like, I can't believe I would end up voting for Inherent Vice, but of those five nominees, I would absolutely vote for Inherent Vice. The adapted is American Sniper, Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
You would really vote for...
I would. I know. It surprises me, too.
Oh. Like, I just don't... I don't understand that movie.
Yeah, I
don't understand book adaptations that are like, I'm just gonna have somebody narrate chunks of the book, even though they're not a character in the movie.
I hate that part. I really do. It only speaks to my low opinion of the other four nominees in that category.
Well, then I'm curious. What did you want to be nominated here?
I mean, obviously, Wild. I've talked enough about that. Obvious Child, if they're going to nominate, you know, Whiplash, then you can do... Because wasn't Obvious Child a similar...
Yeah, it was a short first, yeah.
Yeah. I would have nominated Gone Girl ahead of a lot of these.
Yeah, me too. Under the Skin.
Under the Skin, absolutely.
That's such an Oscar movie, too. How did they miss that one?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and like Norte, The End of History? I mean, what the heck?
But like, even
I would have nominated the Lego Movie over a lot of the nominees.
But what, like, We Are the Best was an adaptation. Like,
I didn't know that, or I would have had it on my list.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a lot.
What was it? What was it based on, though?
We Are the Best.
Yeah,
from a whole graphic novels series by Lucas Moodysson's wife.
Oh, okay.
Kind of her memoir.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, I think of even among, you know, things that were in the Oscar wheelhouse, I think Wild and Gone Girl would have been a lot more interesting nominees than Theory of Everything and Imitation Game.
But Joe, they're both about women.
I know, we're not allowed. I know, Still Alice, too, right? That was a... And I know that there were issues.
Yeah, people didn't like that one in terms of that.
Yes.
I also might be a reluctant Inherent Vice voter here, partly out of the same ambivalence about everything else that you guys are describing, or indifference, I guess. And I feel like it at least kind of tries something that I also agree that the direction doesn't really help it to accomplish. And I'm a little bit suspicious, even though maybe I should just embrace my own, like, mixed opinion on the movie, but it does feel like the kind of movie that I could wind up feeling differently about later when I get over what my expectations of it had been.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of puzzled by my own logic that I'm not voting for Sniper here, since I'm such a fan of it, and I think the reason I'm not voting for it is because the book it's based on sounds so horrible.
Yeah.
Which would be a reason to, like, actually vote for this replay, because I think that it sort of managed to, like, package a version of this character that's not an absolute fabrication, but tells a much more compelling story than what you would tell if you just did the book. But, so I feel like I'm being incoherent in my thinking for, like, holding that against it. And I think the screenplay is actually really good in a structural, in a kind of Titanic, sometimes I don't like the words that come out of their mouths, but as a piece of structure, this is a pretty amazing achievement. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I don't know why I'm not being drawn to that one. Maybe I am. I don't know what's happening to me.
Do we think that Whiplash has a good chance of possibly winning, though, in this category because of the sort of Damien Chazelle wunderkind narrative?
I think it's the only thing that can beat Imitation Game.
Yeah, I think so too. But I still haven't decided which I think is going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know we make fun of it all the time with the, like, sometimes the people no one thinks anything of. But I think that might be why it wins, if it wins.
It's the one movie with a quotable line of dialogue.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
If only they had given J.K. Simmons a line to keep saying instead of that hand.
Instead of the hand motion? Yep.
Well, as I wrote once before, Whiplash is the kind of movie that's going to be quoted forever in frat houses, but it's going to take a while for the quotes to catch on.
Yeah. You're giving me nightmares because I live with those people. I can't be around Whiplash fans the rest of my life. I don't know, if Imitation Game gets up in the air and...
Just to clarify, Nick and Derek do not live in a frat house.
Oh my god, if only.
You don't know where we live.
I do know where you live.
If Imitation Game loses an Oscar that seems like it's absolutely coming to it in this writing category, I'm sorry to be giving into negativity right now, but as was true when Up in the Air lost it, I would just be so delighted. Like, that would be a highlight moment of the telecast for me, but...
Okay, original screenplay nominees are Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Nightcrawler, Grand Budapest Hotel.
A good lineup.
Yes.
I've been feeling more and more Budapest for the past couple weeks, and then when it won the Writers Guild last night, which I know is not a one-to-one comparison, but I think it's Budapest.
Yeah?
Yeah, I go back and forth.
Career achievement thing, and this time he would actually get the Oscar.
I go back and forth because on the one hand, like, every time I look at my predictions, I have Grand Budapest winning so many things, and I'm like, is it really going to win that much?
That's sort of what I kind of think too, is if it was going to win that much, it would be
be more of a Best Picture threat.
Yeah, and it's not. And I think that's why I think I keep going to Birdman on a lot of these, because if, like, Birdman could, you know, if Birdman's going to win Best Picture, like I think it is, they're going to like it in other categories. And yet, I think Boyhood has such a strong... such a screenplay movie. Divorced of, you know, what we know about the process of how it was made. Mm-hmm. Just looking at that movie.
The fact that it didn't have a screenplay?
Right.
Well, right. But you look at that movie, and if you don't know that story, which I'm sure a lot of Oscar voters don't, it's just one of those... It's a modest movie, and modest movies that don't have a lot of, you know... directorial flourish in the way that I think a lot of people think of directorial flourish. Mm-hmm. Those movies tend to be very strong screenplay contenders.
Yeah. I mean, I think any of those would not surprise me winning, and that's why I just keep changing my predictions category. Yeah. I'm very stumped by it, to tell you the truth.
And that's why Dan Gilroy will end up prevailing.
I will say that if Boyhood or Birdman wins it, though, I think they're the ones that's winning Best Picture.
I agree.
I think Grand Budapest could win regardless of what wins Best Picture, which is maybe why I should predict it, even though I don't know.
Right.
But that's how I'm feeling currently about it. And as for who I'd vote for, I would vote for Birdman in a second here. In a hot second.
I would not.
It would take me more than a hot second. I don't know what I would vote for here. I guess Birdman, probably.
Supporting actor and supporting actress, because we're running out of time, we'll just say it's very obvious who's going to win. And...
it is, but who would your votes be?
Ethan Hawke. Keira Knightley.
I would vote for Edward Norton and either Arquette or Knightley.
I would vote for Edward Norton and either Arquette or Dern.
Okay. It's interesting that I haven't talked to... I realize, like, we have self-selecting audiences of who we, you know, spend our time chatting with. But
that's true.
But I do find it odd that almost no one that I know and that I talk to regularly prefers J.K. Simmons, and yet he's, like, 100% locked.
That is interesting.
Everybody likes him, but, like, nobody's, you know...
That narrative really just flattened out early and has not budged. And I think it's because even if you prefer somebody else, like, it's hard to not want to see a character actor of such long standing as J.K. Simmons.
Well, that's helping Patty Arquette, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, how can you root against them, you know? Unless you actively thought the performances were bad, and who thinks that, you know?
Right.
Best actress.
Julianne Moore.
I can't believe I'm not even nervous about it at this point, which maybe...
I know, right? You would think you would be, you know, throwing salt over your shoulder and not stepping on cracks. And yeah, there's no chance it's anything but, right?
Yeah. I think she not only easily wins it, but I think, like, by 90% of the vote or something.
Does anybody get more than one vote to even step up to be second place?
Yeah.
I'd vote
for Marion Cotillard, no question, but...
Yeah, I'd vote for Reese, also no question.
I would probably vote for Marion Cotillard, I will admit, and people are going to freak out now. But relax, I've given Julianne plenty of awards. She's not overdue in my own awards.
Right, yeah. I think you've established your bona fides pretty well.
Right. She has
Julianne would be a strong second for me, I have to say. I really love that performance.
I love it, too. I mean, in fact, I think this lineup is, you know, really dreamy, actually. I even thought Felicity Jones was really good. I wouldn't have nominated her, but, like, for that type of part, I thought she was... I thought she was much better than films of that sort usually get in that type of role.
If they could have just possibly nudged her out for Scarlett Johansson and Under the Skin, it would have been a divine set of nominees.
Yeah.
I think. In my opinion.
Yes. Or, like, you know, what's her name from... Ida, or, you know...
Oh, well, yeah, or like...
What's her name from Mommy, or, yeah. You know, there's plentiful... There's other people.
Yes.
I'm a lot more lukewarm about this field than you guys are, but...
Who in particular? Were you not a Rosamund Pike fan?
I like Julianne Moore, and I like it more the more I watch the performance, but it just doesn't turn the burner up real high for enthusiasm, and probably the same for Felicity Jones and Reese Witherspoon. Like, I like all three of them. I just can't get super excited. And I think Rosamund Pike, like, super missed an opportunity, even though I, you know, didn't even really see it as that much of an opportunity. Like, I just don't get the Gone Girl thing.
Right.
But I think she definitely didn't help.
I always changed my... I like Gone Girl a lot, as you know, but her performance, I have... It's one of those weird performances where I think it's both missing opportunities and genius and uneven. Like, I can't ever completely decide how I feel about it. Because sometimes I'll see little clips and I'll be like, oh my god, she was so great in that. And then other times I'll be like, eh.
Yeah.
It's like 1.5 out of 5 stars for me.
Wow. Maybe. Like the movie or her?
Her.
Wow. Well, I can't wait for you to write up on this category then.
Well, it'll only be 8 years.
Best actor.
Redmayne Cooper.
In terms of your votes?
Redmayne will win. Cooper.
Oh, Cooper should win. Gotcha.
With Michael Keaton a close second in both cases. No, I like Steve Carell too. But anyway, Redmayne Cooper.
Redmayne Keaton.
Redmayne's my favorite of the five. Oh, God damn you, Katie Rich, for giving me this Bradley Cooper theory that he might win. Which I really do honestly think there's a vote splitting possibility. But no, if I had like actual real money to put on this, I would put it on Eddie Redmayne to win.
I'm just so excited about the... I mean, I want Keaton to win so much because I think it's by far the best performance in the field, but I am just so excited to get a Savage Grace reunion photo.
Oh, yeah!
Because think about it, they're going to be holding their Oscars standing together.
Oh my god, their Oscars are going to be touching. It's going to be gross.
Be nice if one of them would bring Unax Ugalde as their date, but
right?
I guess, like, or Hugh Dancy.
Or Hugh Dancy, yeah.
Yeah.
Best director and best picture, which might not go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You guys, some of these women are putting Fort and Tildum, and I'm like, what are you doing?
They are?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Linklater.
Yeah, I think Linklater.
I think Linklater too.
I would be. I mean, I wouldn't fall down dead, but like, I would be surprised if, you know. I think this is where all of, if you're thinking that all of the Boyhood enthusiasm funnels to one place, this is the one place. Even more so than Patricia Arquette, because I feel like that's maybe even seen as a little bit separate.
That's an interesting theory. Because
it's
I
my
could
theory of everything, you might say.
Because I do think that the Patricia Arquette is very much the, like, sort of... I think she's great in it. Don't, you know, don't confuse it, but it's very much the Kim Basinger in L.A. Confidential. Like, we want this movie to win prizes. So yeah. It's interesting that you think that, but it's also worth noting that Richard Linklater would still get his Oscar if it wins Best Picture. For Boyhood.
Or screenplay, right? He's up for...
Yeah, he's up for all three of those prizes.
Yeah, he would be my vote in Best Directors. Well, I won't get into picture yet. I think Iñárritu is coming on strong, though.
Well, I think there's a lot of love for Iñárritu in Hollywood, which is why I think it's sort of a nail-biter, whichever...
Wait, how many votes does Salma Hayek get? One, or... Because if it's more than one...
She's not voting for water, I'll tell you that.
If anybody asks me why I love you, that sentence right there is why I love you.
I think this could be a split situation, but I'm going to predict Linklater. But my vote would be Iñárritu.
Mine as well.
And best picture, I'm gonna go against the grain because I know, Joe, you mentioned several times you think Birdman's gonna win. I think Boyhood's gonna win.
Okay, I would be happy with that.
People seem to be leaving that prediction, but I'm sticking with it.
I mean, it somebody sort of spelled this out for me, and it's true. Like, it's one sort of long-standing rule of precursors is going to fall by the wayside, where either the PGA, DGA, SAG, like, triptych is going to be not predictive for the first time since Apollo 13, or that, you know, no movie without a Best Editing nomination has won since
Ordinary People,
right? So, like, one of those two things is going to happen unless the Imitation Game really does Harvey its way on up to that podium, which is not going to happen. Knock on wood.
I actually think Grand Budapest is running in third place.
Yeah,
rather than Imitation Game.
Yeah, I think so.
But
it's funny because nobody thinks it can win.
Yeah. Well, yet, I think that if we do the divvy up the percentages, I think Boyhood and Birdman are hogging a lot of them.
Yes, I agree. Selma would be my vote, of course, but yes.
And Nick's vote would be American Sniper, right?
So I like Selma and American Sniper, like, exactly the same. And I admit that partial. So this is where I would do, like, the thing that we, like, sometimes dog Academy voters for doing. But, like, I like them exactly the same. I gave American Sniper the slight edge in my top 10 list. But Selma is the kind of movie I would like to see people make more of. And just as a vote toward the future, I can only imagine being more grateful for the movie as time goes on. And I don't hold the, like, bad readings of American Sniper against it exactly, but I do understand it's a complicated object to have out in the world. So I'd probably vote for Selma, honestly.
Okay.
But I think Boyhood will win.
So you're sticking with me also, that Boyhood still got it.
Well, I'm not picking between my friends. That's the best part, but I am thinking Boyhood will win.
Do you think that also means Linklater wins, or do you think in your redo, do you think it could split? Because I think it could split.
I think any combination could happen among those. Yeah. Either movie could win both, or it could split either way. I really don't know.
I like that that it's so up in the air, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as much as people sort of get down on the era of 5+, it's had some pretty interesting, you know, Best Picture, Best Director races recently.
Well, yeah, and it has been interesting that, you know, they haven't been lining up.
Yes.
Which is, I think, is a relief, and I know Nick agrees with this, that, you know, the whole, like, it directed itself is one of the most annoying things that ever comes out of Oscar conversations.
It's funny. I've talked to people who are vehemently of the opinion that Best Director and Best Picture should be synonymous, that there shouldn't even be a Best Director award.
And that just sort of discounts the fact that movies are made of, like, hundreds of parts, not just
I one. I agree.
And my thing with Boyhood, it's like, in doing my own awards, like, I'm realizing as the more of them I post, the less I'm noticing it in my lineups. And yet I love it. It's my third favorite film of the year. But I'm just realizing it's just one of those things. The cumulative is just much greater than any particular part.
Yeah.
Which to me is the exact, you know, definition of why pictures should be separate than other things.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because I feel like 12 Years a Slave was in a weirdly comparable position last year, even though I would see them as sort of opposite cases, where I feel like 12 Years a Slave knocked it out of the park in almost every category as you move down this list, even though it also had this extra thing going for it. And Boyhood, I think, is really hard to vote for in a lot of these other categories, but both of them do seem like a vote for something. It's not to deny how many people love the movies for what they are, but they both have so much context around them that makes them tempting to vote for. But I do see that argument for Birdman, too, that to work within the studio system as people who didn't come up through it, but make an object so eccentric and make your job so much harder for yourself than you had to, I think is also pretty impressive.
Well, and I've noticed a few things online about, like, people saying, oh, of course it's going to be Birdman because they vote for themselves, but I don't actually think that's true. There has been a weird little wave of it with The Artist and Argo both being about the movies, but it's not actually this thread that goes through all of Oscar winnings. It, you know, a lot of things get nominated that are about movies.
I agree with you. I also think that those were so not the reasons that those two movies won. And if 2011 could have pulled itself together and given a really, you know, hard-charging rival to the artist, like, Hollywood would have been happy to not vote for that, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Argo thing people know, but...
Right.
I do kind of think there's something to that, though. I think there's a natural affinity that you have towards something that speaks to your world.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I'm always a little hesitant to put a bunch of gay movies on my top 10 list. Because I was like, are these really in the 10 best movies of the year, or is it just because they speak to me? Like, yeah. 'Cause this year had so many that... But then I have to remind myself, it's not... There's a lot of them I don't like. It's just this year happened to have these very strong gay movies, like Pride and Love is Strange. And
yeah.
But it is a thing, you know, where you do respond to things that speak to you. And I don't think that's bad. I don't know why people want to ding the Academy for that.
Well, people want to ding the Academy for lots of reasons.
Well, that's true.
They're sort of our punching bag. They're, you know, we love them, and yet we rage against them because they don't do what we want them to do sometimes.
Right. It's true. Any final thoughts?
I liked your sample question that you circulated.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we should do that really quickly.
Wait, what was
I'll
that?
I'll have to edit stuff out, but that's okay. Let's see. My sample question was, the presenters of the acting Oscars.
Oh, what do we think they're voting for?
Yeah, because, like, you know, we love the tradition of, you know, the back and forth. Like, Jared Leto will be, we assume presenting supporting actress, Lupita supporting Kate,
yes,
lead actor, that right. sort of thing. It doesn't always happen, of course, but it's usually the way the tradition works. So who do we think within the lineup those four actors will be voting for?
I think if anyone is in the Laura Dern wheelhouse of talking about your bliss and the planet and just leading with hope, I think Jared Leto is right there for that. Like, speak your language to me, Dern.
Do you think he probably voted for Wilde, too?
Who can say? But Laura Dern, as we all know, is a bigger force.
That's true.
Than any movie that she could be in.
Well, and McConaughey's rooting for Reese, right? Like, they're...
Yeah, yeah.
They're buddies.
That was easily my guess there.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett...
He probably listens to this podcast, and he's probably going, I voted for Felicity Jones.
The one I'm most likely to co-star with in the future.
Who would Cate Blanchett be rooting for in Best Actor? I feel like she'd have a pull towards a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
It's she can't stop talking about the theater, as we know. So,
Birdman.
I think. And she's got the Gonzalez and Iñárritu allegiance, right? So.
Oh, right, from Babel.
And nobody makes up their own mind based on preferences. They only think about who they've worked with in the past.
Right.
As I'm rudely implying. But, yeah, I bet.
Kaden Yongo is going to go for Robert Duvall for reasons I'm not even going to understand. But I know everyone's minds right now.
Because that movie speaks to her generation, you know, it's been a millennial film about currently pressing concerns. What do you do when your slow brother keeps making home movies of you and you're like, this is mom's funeral? Like, we've all been in that situation.
What do you do when your brother sleeps with his ex-girlfriend's daughter who reminds him of his own daughter?
I cannot believe you just spoiled the sixth hour of The Judge. You know, they spent 12 years making that movie, and you just ruined it.
Oh, my God. I still am in shock at how bad that movie was. Like, it's going to take me some years to get over it.
Just, oh, my. It's only taken me a day to not get over it. I saw it yesterday, but, oh, my God.
I'm sorry that it's going to be with you through 2018. I'm so sorry.
We can't even get into it. I think that Lupita Nyong'o seems like she put on those cool black plastic frames and went to the Angelica and watched the hell out of Foxcatcher. She seems like that girl to me. So I'm going to go Mark Ruffalo for her.
Interesting choice. Yeah, I'm not going to debate that. I like your sound reasoning. We know that she hangs out there.
Who won for director last year? What, Alfonso Cuarón? Oh, yeah, who's he voting for?
Yeah, gee, I wonder. Who won for... Oh, and we know cinematography. Who won cinematography last year? Oh, yes, we know who he's voting for as well.
Yeah, Yeah, his vote's pretty well spoken for.
That's true. If we talk about momentums, I guess Birdman does have a lot going for it.
Sure does.
So stay tuned for Oscar night, where the men will win. We know that much.
The men always do.
Finally, yeah.
Even the boy, who is now a man, after 12 years of making that movie.
The boy nobody expected anything of. Became the man who did what nobody expected. Became the bird man who did what nobody expected. Damn it, I had that! I lost that. That's why I won't win an Oscar, because I can't get a sentence right on the fly. All right.
All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you after the Oscars with our full reactions.
Hoorah!
Thanks to Joe.
Bye, guys.
And Nick.
Bye-bye.
And this is Nathaniel signing off.